51.
In my 30s, I realized I had to work on keeping myself in shape, as it no longer came as naturally. Good thing I was in the military at the time.
After some minor fumbling, awkward pantomime, and attempts at lip-reading, Charles got his house into a crystal, then also put his dungeon in its crystal, and then coaxed a tiger out of a tree with a piece of fish. Charles wasn't really sure why he was bringing the dungeon with him, but Ms. Banshee seemed pretty insistent, and once he realized what she wanted, it didn't seem that big of a concern to Charles. He was a little irritated that she didn't want to carry the thing, but given that it might have to do with how her body seemed to go through solid objects, he didn't worry too much. Departing soon after, the young folks led Charles through the woods. While none could be sighted, they heard howls from various wolf packs, chittering spiders in trees, and the chattering of goblins. Bird sounds were conspicuously absent, but that might have been due to the presence of a tiger walking beside them. Though there was no trail, they quickly found the river and followed it south. It was a nice and pleasant walk for Charles, especially with him now being able to silence the group members whenever they grated on his nerves. Periodically, he'd see a message from one of his family members come in, letting him know they got his warning and congratulating him on his advanced age. He smiled each time. The group was also well-behaved, with one exception. During the walk, Mike got a little handsy with one of his twin girlfriends, and Charles felt that wasn't appropriate behavior in a group. He let him know with a swift thwack to the head that left the man dizzy for an hour. Afterward, Python Mike and the sisters started to keep well enough ahead, claiming that they needed to scout, which was fine with Charles. They were far enough ahead that he could only hear them speak every now and again when their words carried on the wind. Charles heard the river before he saw it, a pleasant babbling. This was the same river they traveled beside on the way to his cabin. Besides forest encroaching closely along the banks, it didn't look much different. They didn't even stop there, instead turning to follow the water as it flowed south. The river was a fast-moving thing that would sometimes cut deep gullies and crevasses into the ground. Often it would grow choppy with rock outcroppings that prevented any boats or rafts from navigating the waters safely, the sound of crashing water carried by nearby trees. The banks were mostly clear enough to walk beside. Only a few times, thick vegetation forced them to go around. They only camped in the forest once, Charles magically summoning his cabin to sleep in his bed. When the next day started, there were only a handful of his family members left who hadn't written him back, and after a quick breakfast on his porch, they got to traveling again. After many miles, the forest led out into grassy hills. The river began growing wider and taking broad turns between rises. The hills were many and fat, but not too tall. The grasses growing on and around were thick, and the ground beneath was a moist, loamy soil that often squished as they walked. Charles could make out monsters every now and again, creeping along around a hill or stopping for a drink of the river. Sometimes, large flying things with tusks, roosting on the tops of a hill, but more often than not he'd catch sight of giant snakes and centipedes slithering between. Arrows would fly from the twins and scare off any when they got too close. Once Red Baron had to fight off a flock of the tusked critters with his blood tentacles. The sun was just starting to set as they made camp right on the very last hilltop before the widening river led out into some kind of wetlands. From their vantage point, it was a breathtaking view. The moving water slowed considerably and grew thick with algae and cattails and other plants colored in lime green or dark black. The wetlands looked to go on for miles more. From the hilltop, they could see a handful of clear water reflecting the misty mountains on the other side. Sporadically, a gnarled tree or thickets of tall, thorny briars grew among the water. Patches of fog flowed lazily along the top of certain areas of the wetlands, and Charles caught sight of cranes as tall as a person swooping in and out from them to hunt in the waters. He would have been more impressed with the view if it didn't stink worse than a public restroom. The others seemed to be ignoring the stench in order to have some kind of impromptu romantic moment. Charles was patient for a few moments while they watched the sunset making beautiful oranges and reds that reflected across the waters. It was only when he saw the banshee had started watching him with a hopeful look in her eyes that Charles used his crystal to plop his cabin right on top of the hill. He didn't expect it to fling mud everywhere, nor did he expect the placement to make such a loud squelching sound that it echoed all around, through the hills and over the water. Trapped air continued to escape from underneath the cabin in loud flutters and squeals, almost as if a giant were passing gas. Looking out across the water, Charles wasn't sure how long it would take to get across and up a mountain, but now that he had a portable cabin with a very nice bed, he wasn't in as big of a rush as he was the first time. Charles ignored the complaining from mud-splattered adventurers as he considered staying on the porch to whittle some. Ultimately, the stink pushed him inside to bed. Despite how yesterday started, the quiet 2-day walk through the woods had done a lot for his mood. He'd only had to whap Python Mike once when he'd seen him touch one of the twins inappropriately in public. Much of his family had responded to his short message, and just hearing from them throughout his walk was uplifting. With a smile, he lay down. And with a look of concern, he woke up in the middle of the night. Crashing, clanging, shouts, and the sounds of struggle made him aware of the battle around him. Even more worrying, Charles's bed was outside his cabin and moving down the hill with him in it. The angle it was moving made him grab onto the mattress, only to find him sliding off with the sheets. Luckily, he landed on the sheets instead of the muck as he slid down the hill. By the time he stood up, he saw his bed floating off in the waters as tiny black creatures paddled away on top. When the tiger padded down next to him, he could only give it a disappointed look. The look didn't prompt any kind of response from it, as, like any other cat, it was above such things. With slow horror, it dawned on him.
My bed was stolen!
Amidst the sounds of fighting still going on around the hillside, one could hear an old man cursing.